Wow. What just an incredible time we just had of experiencing worship and getting to hear some of our worship team's favorites of 2020 and the worship sets that they've put together in the last several months. It was really special. Today, like I said earlier, is the last Sunday of 2020. And I cannot fully express to you how wonderful it is to say that finally out loud. Now, of course, 2021 won't come without its share of challenges, but I know that you and I are both super eager to start a fresh year on a completely clean slate. But in light of everything many of us have experienced in 2020, I wanted to remind us of our role as believers, regardless of the circumstances in which we find ourselves. I also wanted to use the story of the wise men to guide us in understanding the purpose to which Jesus is calling us. Now, the story of the wise men has many misconceptions and assumptions we kind of grew up accumulating. But we need to unravel these before we get into the truth and the fullness of their role. So we find them mentioned in a significant way in the Gospel of Matthew. So if you want to, go ahead and turn your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 2. And before we read together, let's remind ourselves on who the wise men actually are, or who they were, and why they were even mentioned in the epic story of Jesus' life. So, we know that the Magi, or the wise men, were from the east, most likely Persia, something most people don't really know. It's modern-day Iran. This means they didn't come a very short way to visit Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. The wise men would have traveled, now get this, about 800 to 900 miles to see the Christ. Also, we make a pretty good assumption that they made this trek on camelback. We have the iconic, you know, three wise men on camels carrying the gifts, traveling a long distance. Now, another misconception, of course, is that there were three. We don't really know how many wise men there were. We know that there were three gifts, and we'll talk about those in just a moment. But just picture this. Three men from a far-off land without the advent of social media or telecommunications of any sort, and they knew that they needed to start a long and arduous journey to find Jesus. And why? Why is this so important to them? Why is it so important for history that they made this trip to find Jesus and to honor him and to worship him? More than likely, the Magi knew of the writings of the prophet Daniel. So this is important for us to understand. Why did they make the trip? How would they have known about Jesus? Or how would they have known about the coming Messiah? So they probably would have known of the writings of the prophet Daniel, who in time past had actually been the chief of the court seers in Persia. So there's a Daniel connection to Persia there. So this is how the wise men would have known about the coming Messiah. Because geographically speaking, I mean, they're literally worlds apart. Okay, they're a continent apart. And the prophecy in Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 to 27, you can read that on your own time. We're not going to read that together today. It includes a prophecy which actually gives a timeline for the birth of the Messiah. Now, a lot of people say, well, we didn't know when he was going to be born. We actually don't know when he's coming back. That's the misconception. In the Old Testament, it kind of gave a pretty good idea to us as to when the Messiah would arrive on the scene. Now, before the arrival of Jesus, the baby, there was a long silence of the prophets. Many of the biblical scholars of the day had kind of forgotten that the Messiah was to come at this particular point in history. And so very few people really were in tune with the signs of the times of Jesus actually coming on the scene. But that's why these guys, the Magi, were wise men. They were well-read. They followed after these different ways to understand the times, They used astrology, which many of us probably don't think or don't know anything much about. But they paid attention to these things, which were indicated in the Old Testament as significant signs for us to watch. So the Magi would have used this timeline basically to anticipate the coming of the Messiah, which I find pretty interesting. They didn't have a newspaper. They didn't have the internet. They didn't have any other information except writings from a prophet from long ago to give them an idea of what was to come. So fast forward a little bit. The Magi would have been aware also of the prophecy of Balaam or Balaam, and he was from the town of Pethor on the Euphrates River near Persia. Now, why is this important? I'll read it to you. Actually, read this. This is out of Numbers 24, 17. It says, "I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. It shall crush the forehead of Moab and break down all the sons of Sheth." Now, this is out of Numbers 24, 17. This is the Old Testament. This is something that the biblical scholars would have known was to come. And it talks about the signs, the astrological signs that we would need to see or need to be witness of for the coming Messiah. So again, the wise men knew this. They were well-read. They would have known this particular sign to look for, and they would have also known the timeline in which was outlined in Daniel. So all of that basically gives us a pretty good idea that the Magi weren't just acting on some random hunch or some random news from far-off land. They actually had some pretty good sources as to how to find and when to find Jesus. So this prophecy would have given the Magi a guide to follow the Star of Bethlehem, and which many astronomers indicate was actually an extremely rare celestial event, which is scientifically proven, of the conjunction of planets, stars, and other celestial bodies. There's a lot of contention as to exactly which celestial bodies were conjoined together, or from our perspective of Earth, which ones were the ones aligning up together. Many have proposed that it's Jupiter and Saturn, which many of us got the opportunity to watch this past week with our own eyes. By the way, if you witnessed that conjunction of Saturn and Jupiter, that was a very, very rare event. I believe it hasn't happened this close in the last 1,000 years or so. And so you got to witness potentially a very similar event that the Magi had seen over 2,000 years ago. So that's pretty cool. Now, there could have been Mars mixed into that conjunction, which would have made it even greater still, because Mars is the closest planet to us and brightest to the naked eye. Jupiter and Saturn are the largest. So when they conjoin together, you can see a significantly bright celestial body together. So these are all things that I feel like we need to know going into understanding the significance of the wise men in the story and life of Jesus. Now that you have already turned to Matthew chapter 2, I'll give you another moment if you haven't already. We're going to read the story of the wise men, Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12 together. And at the very end, I basically just gave you a history lesson. At the very end, I'll give you a quick, let's call it a sermonette. Because I get it, today may not be exactly what you expected to hear on the 27th of December, the last Sunday of the year. Maybe you expected to hear something about Christmas, maybe you didn't. Maybe you expected to hear something more uplifting. Maybe you expected to hear something dealing with the new year. But I think that having a better understanding of our role as believers moving forward in our circumstances today will give us the best tools in our toolbox to tackle 2021, and to do it from a perspective of biblical truth, and to do it with the right outlook as believers. All right, so let's read together Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. "Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews?'" I'm going to stop right there. They knew that Jesus had been born, which is intriguing to us because they did start making the journey potentially before he was born. And that's another thing that we need to take into consideration. For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled. He was threatened, really. And all of Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. The wise men told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler, who will shepherd my people, Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. He knew that these wise men were very keen on what was happening astrologically or astronomically. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, remember, he wasn't in the stable, he was in a house. They saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, even though Herod had asked them to go back to him and tell him about Jesus, they departed to their own country by another way. Another one of those misconceptions I was talking about earlier was that Jesus was a baby and that he was still in a stable whenever the wise men visited him. And many of us probably already know, and some of us don't, that actually it's more likely that the wise men had visited Jesus 1, 2, potentially 3 years after the actual birth of Jesus. Remember, they traveled 800 to 900 miles, so it took them a while to get there. It took them a good period of time, and it's likely that they started traveling before he was born, but traveled through his entire infanthood to get to the baby Jesus. Now, Balaam's prophecy specifically mentions a star coming out of Jacob. We talked about this prophecy earlier that was mentioned in Numbers. This was a guide for them to look for when the Jews by a miraculous stellar event, the Star of Bethlehem, which they called his star. So they gave the star they saw, the celestial event, the name, his star, Jesus' star. This is in Matthew chapter 2, verse 2. And they came to Jerusalem and asked concerning the birth of Christ, and they were directed to Bethlehem. They followed God's guidance joyfully. And when they arrived at Bethlehem, they gave costly gifts to Jesus. I want you to think about the gifts they gave to Jesus. For just a moment, we can sit. Maybe you're in your living room and you can see the tree across the living room. Maybe you can think about the gifts under the tree that were once there. Maybe you can think of the gifts that you unwrapped as you gathered together as family this Christmas. Maybe you can think of the gifts that you wish you could have given this Christmas, but you weren't able to for whatever reason, for whatever circumstances we were in. I want you to think of the gifts for just a moment. They were sacrificial. They were more than gold. They were more than frankincense. They were more than myrrh. They were giving of themselves. And so during the Christmas season, we're running around trying to buy presents for people or expecting maybe presents from people. Think about the sacrifice many go through and many give, and maybe you yourself do, when you're giving or receiving a gift. I think it's important this season to think about that because it also paints how we as believers, as Christians, should live our life each and every day, not just at Christmas. So when they arrived at Bethlehem, they gave costly gifts and they worshiped him. God warned them in a dream not to go back to Herod because God knew Herod had malicious intent. He did not want Jesus to grow up and be king. He did not want a ruler to take over his position as king. And so what's interesting is the Magi, though they were instructed by the king to do something, by a man, they listened to God. They obeyed God before man. Many examples that we can take from the Magi, from the wise men, many examples we can put into practice each and every day. And what I've told you earlier is that today was more of a learning session or a teaching session for many of us. I haven't quite preached yet, and I'm almost done, but I wanted to leave you with really five things that I learned, that I uncovered from the story of the wise men in Matthew chapter 2, that we can live out every day of our lives, that we can really put into practice, that we can tackle the year 2021 knowing that God has something bigger and better for each and every one of us, but more importantly, so that we can see his kingdom come, what our role is to see the kingdom of God here on earth. So if you haven't taken any notes yet, that's okay. Maybe you learned a few things, but take down some of these things. There's five things I found that are very, very important in this story. First, the Magi, the wise men, were men who read and who believed God's word. Now, this is over 2,000 years ago. All they had was probably the first five books of the New Testament, maybe the prophets, and they read them. And they believed what the Bible said. They believed what the word of God said. And that was their main guide in this endeavor. The word of God, listen to this, the word of God was their primary source and guide for taking on the great task of traveling hundreds of miles just to pay honor to the newborn king. Wow. God asks the same of us. God asks us to read his word and to believe it and to use it as what? The primary source, not just a source, but the primary source by which we go and live our lives. We work and interact with people, and we give and we worship, all through the lens of that which the Bible tells us to do. And so I believe it's very, very important that we do not lay that one aside. The Magi were wise men. Why? They read and they believed God's word. We simply cannot trust God if we do not know what he said and what he is saying to us today. And that comes directly from the word of God. The second thing that I believe was important about the wise men is that they sought after Jesus. They sought after Jesus. They left comfort. Now, it's probably a good or easy assumption to make that these men were of means. I mean, they brought pretty costly gifts. Some scholars would call them kings from a far off land. So they were probably royalty, or at least related to royalty. And so they would probably live very comfortable lives wherever they came from. But they left comfort. They left comfort to seek after Jesus. They traveled at least 800 miles on camels. Why? They thought that Jesus was that important, that he was worth it. Now listen, if we find ourselves too comfortable, it's probably a good idea to ask ourselves, are we actually seeking Jesus? Now, I'm not saying about having a house and a bed to sleep on and food to eat. I'm just talking about how we live our everyday lives. Are we placing ourselves in an opportunity and positions to be a light to a dark world? And that, unfortunately for many of us, is uncomfortable. But God still calls us to do it if we're seeking after Jesus. By seeking him, we will find that we will be pursuing countercultural norms. I bet to believe that the Magi, the wise men, were doing something very countercultural. It was not normal to hop on a camel and travel for 800 miles across a continent to worship a baby. I mean, let's just be honest. It sounds kind of crazy. It was countercultural, but they were being simply obedient to God. So seeking after Jesus is going to be countercultural. You're going to go against the norms a lot of times, and it's going to be uncomfortable. So ask yourself, are you doing that? The third thing that I believe we can gather from the life or this example of the wise men is that they recognized the great worth of Christ. They recognized the great worth of Christ. They offered true sacrifice. I talked about it just a little bit earlier. We talked about the gifts. The gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh were of great value. And they were a symbol of great sacrifice to a great king. And I want to spend a little bit extra time on this particular point here, on sacrifice. It's a symbol. These gifts were also a symbol of what was to come in the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. So even at his birth, and even with after a couple of years of his birth, we're seeing symbolism that points directly to the purpose of Christ. Christ came. It's sometimes unsavory to talk about, but Christ came ultimately to die. Christ was born ultimately to give his life. And in the gifts that were given to him, they symbolize this sacrifice. It symbolized the sacrifice of great worth because Jesus was worth it. He ultimately becomes the great sacrifice for us. So just like the Magi gave great gifts of great sacrifice to a great king, he becomes the great sacrifice for the sins of the world. And I want to take a turn really quickly for a second, because we haven't really mentioned somebody that I believe gave an unbelievable sacrifice. Mary. Mary, the mother of Jesus. You know, she gave birth to Jesus and raised him and had to see all of this happening before her very eyes, much with only a warning from an angel, but she was an obedient woman. And to think that just 33 short years after the birth of Christ, she would have to allow Jesus to give up his own life. She made a huge sacrifice too. God gave his son, for sure, but Mary gave her son as well, willingly, to a world that really turned their back on him. And so think about the sacrificial gift of Mary. Think about the sacrificial gift of the wise men. But more importantly, think about the sacrificial gift of Jesus on the cross, ultimately his resurrection, so that we may have life, so we may have new life, so we may be reborn. Her sacrifice of her only son is often forgotten. I don't want us to forget it in this season. Number four, one more after this one. One of the things that I see the Magi doing is they humble themselves. Like I said, they were probably royalty. Many scholars believe they were royalty or kings in their own right, but they worshiped the newborn king. They worshiped Jesus. They worshiped a baby born in a stable. From humble beginnings. They were probably of great importance, but Jesus deserves our perpetual and selfless humility. We often live lives that are self-centered in this culture. We often live lives where we believe that we should be honored, we should be recognized, we should be less inconvenienced. And the truth is, if we look at the life of Jesus and what he's called us to, We need to lead and live lives full of humility, because that's ultimately what honors Christ. He humbled himself as a king, but he is still king of the world. And he calls us to live a life perpetually dedicated and devoted to him. And lastly, the wise men obeyed God above man. They exercised godly and earthly wisdom. They were wise men, after all. They used their knowledge, they used their experience, and their faith to follow and obey God. So I want to tell you this, and I want to leave you with this thought. I don't think anyone in their right mind that follows after Jesus does it blindly. Faith isn't blind. God has given us his word. We can see that. not blind. God has given us people, connections, the world around us. I can see all those. God has placed significant circumstances and events in our lives where we can gain amazing experience. Just take this last year. 2020 has been hard for nearly every American. I would venture to say every single person on the planet. It's been interesting to say the least. God gives us all of those so that we may learn, experience, and move forward. All these things I can see. No one is asking you or anyone else to be obedient to an invisible God who's given us arbitrary rules and regulations. He's given us so much to be able to see, so much to be able to experience and learn from. 2021 is going to be a great year, but like I said before, it's not going to come without its own challenges. And the only way we can overcome these challenges is by obeying God. The wise men did it. They didn't obey God, and they didn't obey man above God. They obeyed God, his word, and they used wisdom after all. So let's use what we know, what we've experienced, and what we believe to fully trust God in 2021. I cannot wait to see what God has in store for you and for all of us. Let's pray. And you enjoy your year 2021. God, thank you for this day. Thank you for just allowing us to be present in this moment, to hear from you, to worship you. God, I know for many of us, we're just ready for 2020 to be over. But I thank you for 2020. It's given us great insight. It's given us great experience. It's given us opportunities to serve people we would have never been able to serve otherwise. It has given us great opportunity to be recipients of your grace, to be recipients of other people's blessings. Thank you so much for what we have seen and experienced in the year 2020. God, I asked that you would just go before us in 2021. Allow us to learn from the wise men and many others in the Bible, God, the Bible, the Word of God that you've given us, so that we can see and know that you are good. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.